Paul said this. He said, I understand what he was saying, especially tonight. He said, I am the word in the King James, betwixt, but he was basically saying, I'm in a rock and a hard place. He says, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but for you, I'll stay with you. So he was torn, and I am in a strait betwixt too. I have a desire to keep fitting into my suits. Because finally I got into this one, and then, but yet there's a fruity pebble cake on my desk, and so I have a desire to get into the suit, which is good, but I don't know, I think the fruity pebbles cake is going to be far better, so we'll find out. Amen, praise God, hallelujah. Well, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, it's good to be with you tonight, and I hope you're able to stay just a little bit after to pray for the plan. Which is what? Miracles for 2021. Miracles, praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Welcome everybody that's watching by live stream. We wish you could be here, but we're glad you're joining us anyways. But Father, help us tonight. Lord, we need help. We need you. You know more than us. You have far more wisdom than us. So Father, we look to you for help tonight. And Father, we know this is how you do it. Father, you anoint men and women on the earth to help people. And Father, we don't exalt the people, but the anointing. We're grateful for the plan. And so, Father, speak through me tonight, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. I know we're trying to get across some things financially so people can be skillful, because we want to get out of our own way. Father, it's the things we're doing wrong that hurt us, and we want to do things right. And so, help us tonight. Give us hearts to receive. May we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying tonight. Father, we crave boldness, we crave utterance, we crave revelation, impartation, encouragement, admonishment, and even correction, Father. For we know that when we're corrected, it's just proof that you love us. And so we welcome it all tonight. We're ready to receive from heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 1 Peter 2 and verse 7, of course, we've not done this in a row, but this is the third message in the messages of being skillful in the tithes and offerings. And it's amazing. We've already seen and heard testimonies of people that made adjustments. And again, I apologize for you know, I get criticized for preaching too much, but apparently I don't preach it enough, because some people still weren't aware of some things. And when we started doing things the right way, we got the right results. And I'm excited for people and the testimonies that we've had. And, you know, talking about money, you know, if you remember before we talked about the tithe that one day, we see that money's not just dollars and cents to God, that it's a heart issue, and he's after your heart. We see in Proverbs 3 that it's an honor issue, and in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, they talk about taking up an offering, and Paul said this way, he said, I'm going to prove how sincere your love is by what you give, amen? So when people look at me like I'm a materialistic, you know, idiot or whatever, when I say what means more, when somebody says, I love you, or when someone says, I love you, and blesses you with something, why? Their heart was in it. There was generosity and giving there. And that's what Paul said. He said, you can say how much you love, but love is a demonstration. God gave. He didn't just speak it. The Bible says he demonstrated. And so we know that the giving of finances, the obeying of the word, is so much more to him. It's you know, nobody that I know that does great things for God, that has miracles, signs, and wonders, there's not a wall between them and God with their money. Their money is his. It's, well, what do you want me to do with it, Father? And there's such a great freedom and blessing in that. But it's important, and I want to read something here, when it comes, and again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know people that come out in midweeks, and there's various reasons, certain people that can't be here right now that are normally here. I know you're lovers of the word. I know you love God and things, but it's important with anything. And people watching online, you know, we get criticized all the time for talking about certain things, but it's important that we don't pick and choose that which we like and agree with and is comfortable to us. You know, without turning there, remember what it says in John chapter 1, it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is actually God. And then it says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What, talking about Jesus being the Word. And we see even in Jesus' ministry, there were certain times that he would say things, being the Son of God, being the Word himself. And people say, I don't like that. That's too hard for me. It's not what I want to hear. And we got to remember, the whole word is him. Not just the parts that tickle our ears and make us feel good, but look at what the Bible says here in 1 Peter 2:7. We want to make sure we're on the right side of the tracks here when it comes to this stuff. He says, unto you, therefore, which believe. What's that mean? Believe the word. Believe in him. He is precious. But when talking about he is the word. The Bible says in Psalms 165, verse 163, it says, they that love the word, nothing will offend them. Great peace, it says, that they which love thy word, nothing shall cause them to stumble. And he said, unto those that believe, unto those that believe the word is him and his whole word, he's precious. But unto them, that means this, the tithing message is precious to you. The tongues message, even if it's something you didn't grow up with and it's uncomfortable to you, it's precious to you because it's the word, right? We don't just pick and choose which parts of the Bible, but he says it's precious. But unto them which be disobedient or don't believe or don't follow the word, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So it's talking there that Jesus was the stone that the builders disallowed, but he's become the chief cornerstone. Well, I don't know a whole lot about construction, but I've had people tell me that in building a building, that cornerstone is vital. It's a foundational piece in growing the building and building the building. It ties things together, and that's what Jesus is. But notice it says that he's the chief corner, and look what it says in verse 8 about him. And he's become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. There are people that stumble at the word. I mean, how many people, our church would be so much bigger if I never brought up tongues. I'm just telling you, I know the people that have left because of it. Well, what happened? That word was preached, and what happened? They stumbled on that thing. I mean, the biggest thing that's caused people to leave our church has been the message on tithes and offerings and the fact that we actually talk about money. But what is that message? That's still him. He's still the word, you know, and I understand you can get in a ditch and you can manipulate people and you can beat people up, but just the pure sharing of what to do. And listen, I'm grateful. I was drowning financially when I came into the kingdom of God. I mean, I was a mess. And that word, it literally like someone threw me a life raft and it saved me. Praise God. I was so thankful, you know. Listen, I'm telling you this. If my house is burning down and a firefighter runs in and throws me up over his shoulder and I get a little bruise on my hip, I'm okay with that. You know, if the word causes me to trip up and stumble a little bit, or, you know, I'll even say this. If he's carrying me out of my burning house and somehow picks me up wrong and breaks my arm, oh, that's okay. You saved my life. You know, and that's what's happened, you know. It's the word causes people to stumble. And with this message on money, people already have their preconceived ideas. Their mind's not renewed to the Bible. And the Bible says that you can actually the word, because people say, no, I'm not offended at Jesus. And what they think about is the Savior, Jesus. But Jesus is tithing. Jesus is tongues. Jesus is holiness. He's all of it. He's the whole word. And it says, come a stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, one to they were appointed. And so we want to make sure we get out of our own way. And you know, I'm not here to stand up and from platform and condemn people. I think it helps to hear that, and I struggled with some of these at first, you know, had to really renew my mind, you know, especially when you're not doing well financially and you're the idea of giving 10% and then more than 10%, that really can mess with your mind, you know, and you come out of sin and you find out all these things God's not pleased with and he wants you to work on them. It's hard, you know, or you know, I can't just sleep in on Sunday mornings anymore and do whatever I want. God has a plan for me, right? These things, they were all stumbling blocks that had potential to stumble, but I just loved him and wanted more of him, and so they didn't cause me to stumble. They caused me to grow. Isn't that amazing? The same stone can cause people to grow and be blessed is the same stone that can cause people to trip and stumble. And it's not up to him, it's up to you. And so, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but, you know, I don't know everybody that's watching online. And so I encourage you, you know, with these things, the word is meant to build your life upon. And so we saw with the tithe, not going to rehash too much, just mentioned you, that number one, what about the tithe? It leads to blessing. We need to get that in our minds. It leads to blessing. It takes the scary out of it when you realize God's not trying to hurt you. And we saw that what? The tithe is holy to Him. We saw that the Bible says that the tithe belongs to Him. We saw that the tithe is what? 10% of increase. But not for 10% of any part of the increase, the first fruits of that increase. Amen? That's what the tithe is. And so we saw some things concerning that. Now go with me to Malachi 3 and verse 8. We're going to just hit the last part of the offering. It might not take very long, but that's okay. We just want to get these facts out there for people and mention a few things, and then we'll get to praying for the plan. Why? Miracles are going to happen in 2021 because it's the year of miracles. Malachi 3 and verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God?" Well, to rob somebody, that means you take something that's theirs, that they consider belongs to them. And people say, "No, I wouldn't do that." And you say, "Where have we done that?" Because that'd be the first thing people would think. And then he says, "In tithes and offerings." So notice that they're two different things. They're not the same. People get them confused and people mix them up and things. But tithes and offerings, completely different. Peanut butter and jelly, not the same thing. They go together, but they're not the same thing. They're completely different. Tithes and offerings. But notice he says here, before I get to that, let me just say this. It's so important that we get this right. One story that I tell all the time that really... You know, I've learned, you know, one of the reasons I say to you why I'm the most loved, because I know how much I get corrected. Yeah. You think, oh, you're just bragging. Yeah, bragging about how stupid I am at times and mistake-filled I am, because the Bible says what? He corrects those whom He loves. So I assume He really loves me. Right? Someone, if the thought was you're loved, if you get a lot, if people give you money and people are giving you more money, you think you're more loved. Well, if you get correction, you're loved. My gosh, I have to be number one. I have to be at the top of the list, just being the most loved. And so, but I've learned that when I get correction from Him, my flesh naturally doesn't like it. It pushes against. You don't like to be wrong, and you don't like to be corrected. But I enjoy, like these Holy Ghost meetings, there was things in there, better make adjustments there, better fix that, better get that right. And why? Because I want to go higher with Him. Yes, and it's such a simple statement, but the things we really are doing wrong are what hurts us. And so it's so important to get this right. And the story that I tell all the time of how God is so good, see, I look at correction as His goodness. Not, why are you after me? Why are you on my case? No, it's, thank you so much for showing me how I'm hurting myself. And remember the story when I came out of the old office where the ushers count the offering now, and they used to be my office in there, and I was just thumbing through the when we had the blue cards just to look to see if there's any immediate, you know, prayer requests that needed to be taken care of right away and or reach out to anybody, and I saw someone on there had said that they're struggling mightily financially. Well, you know what I've told you. I don't thumb through the offerings, and I don't. I don't look at the end of the year giving reports to see who gave what. Could I do that? Yeah, there'd be nothing legally wrong with that or even ethically wrong with that as the pastor of the church. But for me, it's been something I've not wanted to do. I've had to do it in the past with dealing with certain individuals to help them, but on the general basis of it, I don't do that. I don't want to know. I want it kept for me. And even if I did do that, I still wouldn't know if you're tithing or not because I don't ask for your W-2s. And I've heard of places doing that before. I think, wow. I don't know about all that, but don't worry, we're not going to do that here, but... Hallelujah. And so I don't look through them. And so when they put on their card, they were struggling financially. Naturally, I didn't know the problem. I didn't know if they're tithing, if they're not tithing. You know, when I meet with people that are going through financial struggles, that's the first thing I say to them is, are you being right with God with your money? Are you doing the right thing? Because if you're not, we can't have a further conversation till that's fixed. I can't get you into... what God wants you if you're walking around in disobedience. I can't do it. And so I didn't know anything about it, you know, but the Holy Spirit with a word of knowledge, which is when you are something's revealed to you about past or present that you otherwise wouldn't know, the Holy Spirit says word for word, the problem is they stop at the tithe. Well, I had never heard that like that before. I'd known people that do that, but I had never heard that as the answer. I didn't know. And so they were tithers, but they were robbing God in tithes and offerings. They were walking around disobedience, trying to be blessed. And so I called the person up right away before I left. And actually, I take that back. I was on the way home. Cell service isn't the greatest over there. I was on my way home, and I said, I got your blue card, and this just immediately came to me. And I've told you, I don't look, and I haven't looked. But the Holy Spirit said to me, through the word of knowledge, you stop at the tithe. And the person said to me, I do. I stop to the penny on the tithe, which nothing wrong with that. But there's also nothing wrong with rounding up from 23 cents to a dollar. Or 67 cents to a dollar. You're not going to be struck down from heaven. People think, no, it's just important. Don't go below the tithe. But you can keep doing it to your penny. No one's down on you. I'm just saying. $302.71. Would it kill you to put 303? Would it? Maybe you're just doing it because, nope, he said tithe, and I'm not messing with his tithe business. Of course, I'm messing with you. Just make sure you're doing the 10, you know. And he said, I stop at the penny. I said, well, and I walked him through things we're going to walk through tonight. And this went by another. I don't remember. These things usually go in cycles about 6 months. And 6 months go by, and again, the same thing's on the blue card. And I look at the blue card. This person's still struggling financially. And I had the witness again. It wasn't as dramatic. And I had the same witness. They have not done what I said. So I didn't want to call them and accuse them, but I called them and said, I just read your blue card again. Saw that you're struggling still financially. What did you do with what we talked about 6 months ago? Still tithe to the penny. And they're struggling. Well, I could not get that person to stop doing that, and I also could not get that person out of the financial problems that they were in. And it went on and on. Well, eventually, when you're in financial trouble and you don't do the word and you're listening to the devil, this financial message is a stumbling block to people. It turns them off. He said, a rock of offense. People get offended at it, and they start thinking, pastor's after my money, that the church is trying to manipulate, when all I'm doing is reading from the Bible. And so that happened over the course of time because they didn't get any better financially, and I'm still preaching it. I'm still preaching it by faith. See, the tithing message never bothers me. I never, don't talk about the tithe. Because not just the money part of it, but it's a heart thing, and I want my heart to be right. It never bothers me to hear someone preach on finances or offerings. I get excited. I'm like, oh, what can I learn? What can help me get better? But when you're struggling and you're listening to the wrong voice and you're not funneling things through the Word, when you have not made up your mind that God's Word, no matter what, that's where the error can come in. And it did, and it came in, and they ended up getting into a financial mess where they needed a harvest to pay off this unexpected thing. Well, when that happened, the Holy Ghost then again ministered to me and told me through prayer, a revelation of this, that money would have been there had they taken the life raft when it was thrown to them. Because we'll see, you know, that leads. But the point of that is, how sweet of the Lord to tell this person's pastor what their problem was. And they took it as Pastor Mike's trying to get more money and the church trying to get more money when they could have funneled everything through the Word, but they chose not to. When the truth of it was, God was saying, this is your escape route. This is your help. Praise God. So let's look at some just quick things on the offering. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Now, the first thing we need to know is, unlike the tithe is a little different in offering, how it's carried out, but it's still important to understand he expects the offering. The offering is still his in the sense of we have more freedom of what to do with it, but he still expects it. Robs and tithes and offerings. How many times over and over does he tell you, give, not an option. We'll look at some of these places, but that's the first thing is that this stuff is not optional. You'll see that. But in 2 Corinthians 9 in verse 6, it says, now what you need to know about chapter 8 and chapter 9 is it's financially speaking of an offering that Paul's taking up from this church. And he says, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, in verse 6, if you go back there, we know this can't be talking about the tithe because he's saying different amounts of what you can give. We know the tithe is not different amounts. We know the tithe is what? A set number, percentage. When, you know, people that were to sow $100,000 on $1 million, you know, they might in their mind feel pretty proud of themselves. And we want people to be faithful to do that. The house of God and the plan of God needs people to be faithful regardless of if the tithe is a lower amount or higher amount. But that person that sowed, that tithed the $100,000 on $1 million is no more faithful than the person that tithed $10 on the $100. And so we can't start, because maybe our income increases and our tithe increases, we can't start puffing ourselves up. Like, wow, look at me. No. The giving part is in the offering. The tithe is just set, do this. And when he says, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, bountifully, bountifully. He's talking about different amounts. So it's talking about offerings here and different. And there's so much that we can get from it. But notice this, it says in verse 7, every man. What's he saying? He's talking about ladies here too, just mankind. He's saying every person is supposed to do this. There's no exemption for certain people that making certain amount or if they don't want to. No. Every man give, he says. Every man give. Everybody in this church and in my churches, just know this. The biblical thing to do with your money is tithe with it and also give above the tithe. Every man, there's nobody here that's exempt from that. And that's what God was saying to that person, that, or to me about that person. They've stopped at the tithe, which is what? Disobedience. Thank God for the tithe. Thank God they were doing that. But we want to do the whole word. And they stopped to the tithe, so it belongs to him. Every man, he says, how do you rob me? When you withhold not just your tithe, but also your offering. Now, here's when it comes to the offering, just some facts here about this. The offering is simply this, anything above the tithe, okay? The tithe is a percentage. The offering is an amount. Now, you can purpose in your heart to give to tithe 10 and then give a certain percentage of your income if you want to, however you want to do that. But just know this, because people have been confused on this. The tithe is 10% of a certain increase. And I want to make sure you remember this. I had someone ask, how often do we tithe on an increase? One time. You know, you get these stimulus checks. 10% belongs to the house of God. Then the next service, you don't have to give another 10% for a tithe. Tithe on the increase. Now, offering, that's a different story, and we'll mention a few of these things here in a minute, but anything above the 10% is considered the offering. And yes, he's saying, I'm requiring, or it's good, or it's right, that not only are you doing 10, but you need to go above the 10 into the offering. Yeah. Now remember, funnel this through what we know about God. Because people hear that and it, woo! Everything he tells us, no matter how hard it seems, how hard it looks, how hard it feels, is always to get us into more. Amen? Because when you tell people, some people aren't even hitting 10, and then you tell them, get to 10 and go above 10. Oh, man, they lose their mind. Well, their mind's just not renewed to it. Their mind's just not renewed to it. Now, what then about the amount? If the tithe is 10%, what about the amount? Well, the Bible tells us here, look what it says here in verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. So when you say the tithe, he makes it easy, 10%. Offerings, what do I do? Well, it's as you purpose in your heart. What does that mean? He leaves this up to you, the offering of how much you give. Now, I always have to say these with one warning, though. Unless the Spirit of God tells you otherwise, the offering's up to you. And what do I mean by that? Well, we have biblical principles in the Word when the Holy Ghost will tell you something, right? And to sow something or to give something, we have principles of those in the Word. And that then trumps what we purpose in our hearts. Because there's been times that I've purposed in my heart and the Holy Ghost has told me, no, I want you to give this amount. And so then that trumps what I purpose in my heart. But, you know, I'm not, when I say I don't get led in everything I give, you know, I make sure to, I have peace on what I'm doing, you know, I don't violate that. But I'm not seeking God on every offering that I sow to the church. I purpose a certain amount, and what does that go by? You can only give what you have, right? You might want a purpose to give $2,000, but if you don't have $2,000, so there's natural wisdom that goes along this too with budgeting and being generous, but we'll cover a couple things that will help you with this, but it's your purpose in your heart. Now, where does it go? Well, verse 6, let me just say this. Where it goes is the local church is what? That's where the tithe goes. The Bible says bring the tithes and sorrows. It doesn't say where to put the offering. In fact, it just says what? As you purpose in your heart. And so where the offering goes and the amount of the offering is up to you. The offering doesn't necessarily have to go to your local church. Amen. It doesn't have to. But the tithe does, according to the Word. It's as you purpose in your heart. Now again, that is true unless the Spirit of God directs you exactly where to put the offering. Hallelujah. But let me say this about this, where it goes and how much it goes. Look what verse 6 says. This I say, he which soweth sowing, talking about sowing, we hear, what to me when I hear the word sowing, I think of the parable of the sower, where it says the sower sows the word, and they liken the word to what? Natural seed. So when I hear sowing, I think agriculture, I think farming, I think the sowing of seed. And so he says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. And then verse 10 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Now, we have to understand, well, let me read it here. Seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's likening, we know he's not talking about bird seed, corn seed, tomato seeds, because in chapter 8 and chapter 9, he's talking about a financial offering or a sowing of finances. But notice he likens it to a seed. So now think about this. If you have a seed to plant, you don't just throw that seed any old place. You know, we have a driveway, it's blacktop at our house. And, you know, if I was going to plant a garden and I had a bunch of different seed, that's ground out there. But I wouldn't just go out and scatter that seed on any old ground. I'd go looking for fertile ground. Why? Because it's a seed. What's my point? You want to make sure that you're offering, that you're purposing it to go to good ground. Now, is your local church good ground? Yes, you shouldn't be here if it isn't. People getting born again, lives being changed, things happening. But it's not the only good ground. Hallelujah. There's different places of good ground. I was dealing with one person one time. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. Because there's things that people will try to keep from you in trying to help them out of embarrassment or whatever. And the Holy Ghost at times will just tell you the problem. Why? To get to their answer. Sometimes, it doesn't happen all the time, but I was dealing with another person. And they were singing the tune, I tithe and I give offerings, and if I've seen any change, I don't know it. That's what they're saying. Well, we have a problem then. Either you're doing something wrong or God's word isn't true. Because they were never seeing any increase, according to them. According to what they were saying. Well, the Holy Ghost, I mean, just he don't care. He's not the one that has to sit there and do it. No repercussions back on him. He don't care. So he just said, ask them where they're sowing to. Ask them where they're sowing the seed. Well, they went on to tell me of a charitable organization that is pro-choice. I'm not trying to get political here. And we know this. Anybody that's experienced an abortion, you know, I've talked to people over the years, you're forgiven. That baby's in heaven, praise God. God's wiped it clean. That's not my point. Don't you get in condemnation. If you do, that's the devil, because nobody's condemning you. But they're sowing seed every month into organizations that are for the killing of babies. Yeah. Well, that's not good ground. And then, didn't stop there. Then they told me a ministry. They thought, I'm sowing into a ministry. Listen, not all ministries are created equal. They're sowing into a ministry that actually has people that preach on that ministry that absolutely rail against the prosperity message, against tongues message. What are they doing? Fighting against God, and they're funding the things that are coming against God. I said, I'm sorry to tell you this. And then they told me some other thing they were sown into. And I said, listen, and it wasn't anything morally or ethically bad. And yes, you can be charitable. But I'm like, the problem with that is it's the only halfway decent ground. But the ground that you're sowing to, the main chunk of your money that's all the wrong things, they had it split up into like a third for each. For three of them, and one was that wrong organization. One was the ministry that has people on that bash the word, and the other one wasn't anything morally or ethically wrong. But the problem was, in considering what good ground is out there, it was ground, and they weren't receiving anything. Let me tell you about good ground. This is so. I don't know. I don't know how I should say this, but there's certain ground. I won't say who it is because I don't want to look a certain way or sound a certain way, but I'll just say it this way. There's certain ground that I've learned. I almost feel selfish sowing into it because I know what's coming back to me. It's that good. It's never let me down. It's always returned a big harvest. It's been fertile, fertile ground. One place is my local church. Just to tell you the truth, the greatest amounts of my offerings go to my local church. That's not saying you have to. You purpose in your heart. But why do I do it? It's good ground. Amen. But there's other places that I sow into and different things, and I'll just leave it at that, that I know the return, and I almost feel bad doing it. Because I know in my heart I would do it if I didn't get that return, but I know what's coming, and I'm so excited to get that thing in the ground. You know, I'm sure farmers have different plots of land that they know produce more than others, and they just can't wait to get that seed in that ground. So yeah, it's up to you, unless the Holy Ghost says, and it's up to you how much and where, unless he speaks to you. But just remember, it matters where you sow. I mean, and this person was unaware of both of those things. They weren't on purpose trying to fund that or go against the gospel, but they were unaware. And how good of the Holy Ghost. Because if someone tells me they're sowing seed, okay, great. Well, then let's find out what the problem is. But the Spirit of God arrested me and said, ask him where. Oh, how nice of him. Like I said, you don't have to deal with it. He's like, I feel like he's like an antagonist. You know, he just eggs me on. Here, give him this. Hallelujah. Now, so going on here. How much and where, up to you, unless the Holy Ghost says something to you. But it's important that you know, generosity matters. Generosity matters. Now remember, if we're looking at it as a seed, think about the natural things of a seed. And the best example I can ever think of that I've not thought of a different one is a farmer with 100 acres of fertile land. And they desire a great harvest of sweet corn or corn for their animals. And they go out and they scatter seed on 10 acres of that 100. And what? 10 acres, it'll produce a lot. It'll produce something. But there's going to be a lot left undone. Whereas if they would have sowed 20 acres, guess what happens? The harvest is different. If you sow 30 acres of seed, the harvest is different. This is basic stuff. A farmer knows this. If I want my whole field filled with corn, I got to put seed on the whole thing. And Christians at times, well, but Paul said it right here in verse 6. I love the boldness in this minister. I've not got to this point yet. You know, when it came to the parking lot offering, what'd I do? Just tipped around and said, just do what God tells you. When it came to the flooring offering over there, what'd I do? Oh, whatever God tells you. And that's right, whatever God tells you. But this man didn't just say whatever God told you. He said, I just want to remind you. If you sow like a cheapskate, you're going to get cheapskate results. That's what he said. The Apostle Paul. He was so bold. And he said, but I also want to remind you, if you'll sow big, you'll get big. That's what I'm going to start saying in our special offerings from now on. Yes, obey God and do what God says do. But also, don't forget, if he doesn't speak to you a number, just remember, don't be a cheapskate now. You're hurting yourself. That's what Paul said. Go to Luke 6:38. Generosity matters. Well, before you jump over there, Janae, will you go to verse 10? You can go to Luke 6:38, but I want to go to verse 10. Now look at verse 10. He that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. Well, if I only have two seeds sown, it's limited of what he can multiply. I'm not a math major, but I know when there's more to multiply, the end result is higher. If I sow 10 cards, he gets 10 to multiply. 20 to multiply. And he says, I want to multiply. He says, I'm just going to multiply you. I'm going to multiply what you sow. Do you see how much of this is up to us? Praise God. Luke 6:38. Give. Now look what he says. And it shall be given unto you. What's he saying? You're going to get back what you gave. But you're going to get it back different. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. What's he saying? 10 acres of corn? Yeah, you'll get more. 10 acres of corn will produce more for you than what 10 acres of seed. You get more out of it, but 20 acres would give you a big, you know what I'm saying there? So he's saying it'll come back to the measure you sow. It's going to be bigger based on what you do or don't do. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, talking about generosity matters. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. The Phillips translation says, a man's harvest in life is dependent entirely upon the seed that he sows. Praise God. Generosity matters. I remember I was ironing, it was in our house on Park Street, our small house, And I was ironing my shirt before a service, and I was listening to, I don't even know how I ended up listening to this. I'm so thankful I did. I was listening to a message by Keith Moore. Keith Moore is one of Brother Hagin's sons, and I don't know if he pastors now or if he travels, but he's got a wonderful ministry and very, very anointed in the areas of financial ministry and helping people, and great revelation in that. But Keith Moore was talking about, in that message, how you only get what you sow, that it depends on you. Whatever measure you meet will be measured back to you. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. And he said, I've noticed that I only have ever sowed in fives and in tens and in 20s. And, you know, he said, and I've reaped in that. I've reaped in a measure. He said, I wonder what would happen if I started sowing in hundreds. So guess what he did? Started sowing in hundreds. And guess what he started reaping in? Hundreds. I mean, either the Bible's true or it isn't. And then he said, wow, this is kind of fun. What would happen if I sowed in thousands? And he told about the time he sowed his first $1,000 offering and what a stretch it was, and what, you know, just it was just where he was at and how tough that was. And he did. He sowed in thousands. And he said, wouldn't you know, the word works. Well, when I was ironing, I thought, man, if you always sow, what you always sow, and you're always going to get what you've always got. If a farmer doesn't want just 10 acres of corn seed, then the farmer needs to sow 15 acres of corn seed. If the farmer's unhappy with how much corn he's getting, it's time to plant more seed or find more fields. Amen? And so I thought, I'm going to start sowing bigger. And so I started sowing in bigger amounts, working my way up. And I remember the first $1,000 offering I ever sowed. Oh, my gosh. Oh, sweating. Just sweating and, oh, man, the thoughts that were coming against me. But I had peace on it. Amen. And because, I'm, you know, sometimes people sow above their faith level just because they think, you know, you got to still have peace on these things. And God's not, and even when God does speak something to you that makes your eyeballs spin, your heart will have peace on it. Yeah. Amen. And so, well, I'll give you an example. There's been times Dr. Dufresne out in California had talked about, you know, certain people sowing $1,000 seeds. Well, I wanted to do that. My generosity wanted to do that. But I wasn't in a place to do that. And actually, when I thought in my mind I'll do that, I actually had peace. No, now is not the time. And so, you know, anytime a minister ever tells you if you get two amounts, the higher one's always the right one. No, the one that's right's the one that you have peace on, the one that God's leading you on. But anyway, so I started sowing. And I sowed that first $1,000 seed. And I can't tell you the excitement of the first $1,000 harvest. It works. Oh, you're just trying to get us to sow thousands. Yep, because I want you to reap in thousands. Oh, you're just trying to get us to sow in hundreds. So I know. That's the point. Get you more. Sue me for loving you. Right? It's the truth. Hallelujah. Nobody's telling you to go above your means and always telling you to follow the Holy Ghost and things, but we're trying to get you into more. And let's be honest, so many people, when it comes to sowing, it's not done on purpose. Yeah. It's casual, what's ever left over, and just you keep doing the same thing, and you know, your life's, but God's trying to get you into more. We're believing for $1 million, people. We need people to walk into more. Well, you're not going to walk into more until you start sowing more. Amen, it's true, praise God. And just remember this. Let's just wrap it up with this. You know, we started with a bun. We inserted the meat. Give more. That's the meat. Don't be cheap. That's the burger. And now the other bun's going to come. And just remember, finish it up with this, that God only wants you to increase. God only wants you to have more. If God is trying to get these buildings paid off, he knows people are going to need money. They're going to need more money. This is how you get into more money. It all starts with being right with the tithe and right with the offering. And so if anybody watching or here, you have questions about what we talked about in these three services, please reach out. We'll help you. But we got to get right with this stuff. Don't get in your own way. I am such a big proponent and can't stand self-sabotage. Why? I have self-sabotaged myself so many times. I'm like, idiot. What are you doing? And so when I see other people self-sabotage, it drives me nuts. Like, get out of your own way. There's enough out there trying to throw things in your way and trip you up and make you stumble. Don't you do it to yourself. And you're causing yourself to trip up. It isn't the economy. It's not your job. When you're not tithing and giving offerings, you're just getting in your own way. Well, get out of your own way and do the word. Praise God. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful. So thankful. Once the salvation call's over, you can go ahead and turn that off. Father, we just thank you so much for tonight and what you've done for us. Lord, nobody's trying to manipulate, twist any arms. I mean, first of all, I don't even see the things, and it's up to people what they do anyways. Father, my job's to report it and to say it. But Lord, I know we have people that are hungry. People are hungry to be funders. People that are hungry to increase for the kingdom. Well, this is our way to increase. And so, Father, thank you for the message on tithes and offerings. We don't need to talk about it every week. We don't need to talk about four or five different series a year. But every once in a while, when you prompt us to do so, Father, it's for a reason. And I'm just excited the results. We've already had people starting to tithe on the gross and not the net. Father, we've already heard testimonies. Father, I'm excited to hear when people start sowing different measures, start doing something they've never done, they'll start receiving something they've never received before. So thank you for your word, and Father, we're just so grateful. And Father, you are the ultimate example of giving and giving generously. You gave us your son Jesus, which was everything, which was the most important thing to you, the most valuable and special thing to you. You gave it to us because you loved us so much. Now, I know everybody here is born again, but if you're watching online right now, and you know, the easiest way that you can know if you need this or not is to ask yourself a question. And the question is, would I go to heaven if today were my last day on planet Earth? And if your answer is yes, I know I'd go to heaven, well, if you don't meet the qualifications that I'm about to share, then you've been told wrong. Because you can't get there through your good church attendance. You can't get there through being a good person. You can't get there because you've been moral. So if your answers are yes because of those things, or even to say, well, I believe in God. The devil believes in God. He ain't going to heaven. I'm here to tell you, the devil, someone needs to hear that right now. The devil believes in God, and he's not going to go to heaven. And so that's not how you get in either. But on the same token, if you were to say, I don't think I'll go to heaven. I haven't been a good person. I got a lot of wrong things in my past. I've not been very charitable. I don't even go to church. Those things can't keep you out just as much as your good works can't get you in. The only way you can get into heaven is by Romans 10 and verse 9. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so if you're watching, you say, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to. Ask yourself this question. Do I believe in Jesus? Don't answer that with your head. Don't answer that in your emotions. I'm talking in your heart of hearts. It's like you say, I can't describe it. I don't understand it, but I know he's real. I know. I just have that sense in my consciousness that he's real. That's your spirit. That's Jesus knocking on the door. And so if that's true, that's the first qualification. The next qualification is to receive him. The Bible says, for as many as call on his name will be saved. Romans 10, 13. John 3, 16 says, if you'll believe on him, you won't perish but have everlasting life. So it doesn't matter if you've been a good church attender or haven't. If you've been good or haven't, been charitable or haven't. It has everything to do with what you do with Jesus. And if you're watching and you say, I don't know or I'm not sure, I want to receive Jesus, don't let another moment pass you by. When we dismiss this message and live stream goes off, just get on your knees and cry out to him. Just declare you believe in him. The Bible says, call on his name. What does that sound like? Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. Now, you don't have to know everything after that. You don't have to understand everything. That's why God put pastors on the earth. I'd love to help you. Give me a phone call. The number's on the website. Send me an email, the email address on the website, and I'll help you with your next steps because he loves you so much. He doesn't want to just take care of your eternity. He wants to help you with the here and now. But we love you. We appreciate you. Father, we thank you for this service. We praise you for what's been said, what will happen, what will transpire from this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to go ahead now. And I know we're all family here. And again, let me put this offer out there. If you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost and you want